Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Senior Wealth Advisor for Ellenbecker Investment Group. Ellenbecker Investment Group is located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94, between Highway 164 and Highway F in the Ridgeview Corporate Park. We're also located in the Village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank Building, right across the street from my favorite store, Winkies. We also service clients in Bonita Springs, Florida. Visit our website, ellenbecker.com, for more details, as well as to see the different scheduled seminars that we have coming in the near future, and just to gain some knowledge about who we are and how we work with clients. Today, our topic is going to be Medicare, and I was excited, and I always am excited to talk to Jim Larson because he is so knowledgeable. And I always want to host a radio show and a seminar on this just because it's something every one of my clients have to discuss and work through some of the questions. Because guess what? If you're listening to the show, it's probably pretty favorable that when you turn 65, actually a couple months before you turn 65, you're going to have to think about this. So with that, I'd like to welcome Jim Larson from Health Markets to the show. Jim, welcome. And if you could spend a little bit of time sharing about you and Health Markets and how it works. And I'm going to lay it out there. You know, how do you get paid? Because I think it's a question that we're all probably thinking about right now.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you for having me, Gene. I'm happy to be here. Happy to be representing Health Markets Insurance Agency, and very happy to be partnered with the Ellenbecker Investment Group. What I do is I help seniors, individuals, business owners, I help folks figure out where to turn when it is time to choose a Medicare strategy. As a broker through Health Markets Insurance Agency, I've got access to lots and lots of carriers with lots and lots of options when it comes to Medicare Advantage plans or Medicare supplement plans, prescription drug plans, ancillary or indemnity benefits. Health Markets has an incredibly large inventory of product to choose from. It's important to understand that we don't offer every single plan available, and it is important for everyone to know that you can go to Medicare.com or you can call 1-800-MEDICARE if you want to see every single plan that's available in your area. But working with a Health Markets agent, you can work with somebody local, you can work with somebody in person, or you can work with somebody over the phone to go over lots and lots of options that are available in your area. And thank you for asking the question, because I get asked a lot, you know, how do I get paid and where do I fit into this equation? And I'm really excited to have an easy answer. By partnering with Health Markets, I've given myself access to a tremendous amount of product portfolio, and the compensation is all handled through Health Markets. So it's a very even playing field. We're not necessarily choosing a higher compensating product as much as we have lots of products to choose from, and they all pretty much pay us the same way. So it's a very, very genuine approach to helping someone find the policy or the company that's going to fit their needs, as opposed to, you know, hey, let me show you why Acme Insurance Company is the greatest thing since sliced bread. No, we have We have more of a conversational style where we ask a lot of questions about your doctors, your hospitals, your prescriptions, your preferences, your tolerance for risk. And we figure out how to help you find a company that's going to meet those needs.
So I'm going to jump in here. So if I went to the Medicare website versus going with you and I choose the same insurance provider, I'm paying the exact same price. So your compensation really comes through the insurance provider. The benefit of working with somebody like you is you get that advice and that knowledge. So I just want to make it clear, if you go to Medicare, is it Medicare.com?
It's Medicare.gov.
Medicare.gov. So if you go to that website or you go to Jim, you will be paying the same price.
Thank you.
And that's why I wanted to throw it out there right away. Let's just talk about it.
No, I appreciate that. The price to the consumer doesn't change, whether you purchase it directly from the insurance company, whether you purchase it directly on Medicare.gov, or whether you work with a personal local agent. Of course, my advice is work with somebody local, work with somebody close to you, and work with somebody that has options to help you with. That way, you can call someone on their cell phone number when you have questions, as opposed to calling an 800 number for customer service and waiting as long as you need to wait with some of these companies.
Right. And, you know, you talked about meeting people in person versus the phone or via the phone. So do you go to actual homes to meet with people, or do they come to your office? How does that work?
All of the above.
All right. Perfect. Good to know. And then I love how you said you'll help people choose strategies. So, you know, if you're listening right now, you have choices and options. You just need to determine what's best for you. And if you are at the point where you're going to schedule a meeting with somebody to help you with this choice, definitely have all your medical records, kind of at least your prescriptions in front of you. Although the agent can never technically ask you what prescriptions or health challenges you're facing, it's best if they know, only because, which you're going to learn a little bit in today's show a little bit later, is every insurance provider covers drugs at a different rate and a tier. So when you work with somebody like Jim, he's going to be able to help you determine, based on your current medications or health challenges, this particular provider covers the most. So we'll get into that a little detail, in a greater detail a little later. I want to talk about enrollment. And oftentimes I have clients that say, hey, I'm retiring, I'm turning 65. What is my enrollment period? Do you want to take a moment and talk about that?
Yeah. Yeah, it can be a rather confusing process of when do you access Medicare benefits. And I've got quite a few people that have come to me as a full-time employee, and they've asked me, you know, hey, I'm turning 65 in a couple of months here. Do I have to take Medicare? Can I stay on my group insurance? Do I have to retire now? You know, there's a lot of confusion around it. And the reality of it is Medicare is available to people that are 65 years of age or older. Medicare is available to folks under the age of 65 if they have certain qualifying circumstances. But the majority of Medicare beneficiaries are 65-year-old United States citizens that have been paying taxes for a considerable amount of time. You got to make sure that you've been paying those taxes to be eligible for Medicare. But then once you're 65, you're not automatically enrolled in Medicare. There is some activities that you do need to actually act upon, whether that's calling the Social Security office or going to ssa.gov. But you need to let them know if you want to enroll in Medicare, especially if you're a full-time employee. Uncle Sam will let you stay on your group insurance policy as long as you like. I've got plenty of folks that I don't get to meet them until they're in their 70s because they've been working full-time and they've been appreciating their group insurance through the entire career path. But the truth is, once you turn 65, you have the option to elect Medicare. If you have group insurance, you don't have to take Medicare. But if you don't have group insurance, you're going to want to take Medicare because there are some late enrollment penalties. There are some penalties for folks that don't have what's called qualified coverage. once you hit 65 years old, you have to have what's considered qualified coverage. That's either provided through a Medicare-type policy or it's provided through your employer-sponsored group plan. So one enrollment period is based on when you turn 65. Another enrollment period might be based on when you leave that employer-sponsored group insurance. Maybe you keep your group insurance until you're 71 and you retire at 71. Then you have a new enrollment period that allows you to get from group insurance to Medicare with no gap in coverage, no penalties, no hassle, just a seamless transition. The key is make sure you're working with a licensed agent or a licensed broker who's got access to more than one company. Trying to navigate all this stuff all by yourself is, well, it's about as silly as trying to be your own financial planner. You wouldn't want to do that either.
So typically, though, I want to clarify something because I get this often. When you're age 65 and you're working full time and you're under a group plan, do you still get Part A and Part B of Medicare automatically? Or because you're on a employer-provided plan, it doesn't even open up Part A and Part B?
That's a great question. Typically, Part A happens automatically. Part A is going to cover inpatient hospitalizations, and it typically kicks in automatically around your 65th birthday. Part B does not happen automatically unless you're on Social Security, taking distributions, not covered by group insurance. So there's a couple variables there that might keep that from happening automatically. So just to recap, Part A typically happens automatically based off of your 65th birthday. Part B typically requires people to activate it intentionally, whether that's sending a form back to the Social Security office or going on to SSA.gov or calling Social Security and saying, hey, my name is John Doe, and I'm turning 65, and I'd like my Medicare to start on such and such month.
So I'm going to ask that again. If I'm age 65 and I'm working, do I have two insurance programs to work with? One, my employer-provided plan, because I'm full-time, and two, Part A from Medicare.
Great question. Yes. Yeah, typically you're going to have both policies. Medicare might be primary, it might be secondary. It depends on how your group insurance policy was designed and created. But Part A has no monthly cost and is built right in automatically based on that 65th birthday. So you don't necessarily have to do anything in order to activate it or take advantage of it. It's just simply there. Part B as in boy, that's another chapter. And that one does have to be actively started or enrolled in, and that does come with a monthly cost.
Perfect. We're going to take a little break, and then we're going to continue our conversation around Medicare. So with that, let's take a break. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Jean Range, Senior Wealth Advisor at Ellen Becker Investment Group. Today, our conversation is with Jim Larson, who's part of Health Markets. He is sharing some knowledge about Medicare enrollment and what it includes and all that good stuff. I think in our earlier segment, you learned the benefits of working with an agent. And if you want to reach out to Jim, Jim, if you could share, here we go. Jim Larson, I'll give you the phone number if your pen is out. 262-746-7873. Again, Jim Larson. Let's continue our conversation. Our last segment broke off on kind of when do you enroll, and I just want to make it clear, and help me if I'm wrong here. Typically, you enroll in Medicare when you're not working or you don't have a group plan. You have 3 months before you turn 65, and it ends 3 months after. So it's almost like you got a six-month window. And
actually, it's seven. But you're exactly right. There's a seven-month window of when you can enroll in Medicare, and it's based on 3 months before your birthday month, the month that includes your birthday, and 3 months after your birthday month. So you've really got about 7 months in there if you want to get into a Medicare supplement plan with no underwriting whatsoever.
And that's key, no underwriting. And we're going to talk a little bit about an Advantage plan versus a supplement plan, because we know Medicare only covers 80% of the medical expenses. And I'm not going to get into the weeds on what it covers and what it doesn't. So in general, think of Medicare covers 80%. You need something to cover that other 20. And a typical option, or most common, is either an Advantage plan or a supplement plan. When I think of Advantage plan, I think of the old HMO plans where you pay a flat fee, and then you're kind of guided and limited as far as what medical facilities you can go to. Expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, be happy to. That is a very common understanding of Medicare Advantage plans, is that they can be limiting compared to a Medicare supplement strategy. And really, those are the two strategies that people are choosing now. Is you're either going to go with a Medicare Advantage plan or you're going to go with a Medicare supplement plan, because taking on the 20% exposure with no limit is financially crazy. There's no way that any of us can support 20% exposure on our medical bills with no limit to what that 20% could be. So Medicare Advantage plans have been growing in popularity over the last few years, and what they do is they provide a limit on what that 20% exposure can be. It's called a maximum out of pocket, and it might be around $4,000, it might be around $5,000, it might be closer to $3,000. It depends on the county that you live in, it depends on the plans that you're looking at. There's a lot of different variables out there, but the real purpose of a Medicare Advantage plan is to create predictable bite-size expenses that are limited in a calendar year, so you can have a little bit of confidence in your budget that if everything goes sideways in any given year, you know what your worst case scenario may be. And it's kind of interesting. This is the first time in history that there's more than 50% of the senior population that is now on Medicare Advantage plans. So they have taken over as the majority of the insurance that's out there for Medicare beneficiaries is now based on Medicare Advantage plans.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was going to ask you at the end, do people choose a supplement program or an Advantage plan? And you've answered that. So
yeah. Well, they still choose both. You know, they still choose either one. And it really comes down to, you know, some people drive a pickup and some people drive a sports car, and they've got their reasons to do so. And Medicare Advantage versus Medicare supplement plan, there is not one that's better than the other, as much as one might make more appropriate sense to this individual versus that individual based off of a couple of things. Mostly medical history. If you're hitting your deductible consistently, if you're taking medications consistently, if you're seeing multiple providers in multiple locations consistently, that'll factor into your strategy decision, as opposed to if you are really just kind of looking for a little bit of dental benefits and you really just see the doctor for wellness and preventive. There's different strategies that are going to appeal to different folks based on their needs. So a Medicare Advantage plan can have a very low monthly cost. And we've all seen those commercials. We've all seen some old quarterbacks talking about what we can get for nothing. And obviously nothing is free. But these Medicare Advantage plans can have a very, very low monthly cost, even as low as $0, as you have all seen on the commercials. But what they provide is they provide you predictability in your claims experience. Bite-sized predictable copays associated with your experience, and then a limitation of what's the worst-case scenario of the maximum amount of copays you could be responsible for in a year. The other side of that coin, or the other option, is a Medicare supplement strategy. This is a more traditional route. Historically, this has been the more traditional path, and this is where you pay a larger monthly premium, but you have a lot less copays at the point of sale. You can go to any doctor in the country as long as they accept Medicare. There are no network restrictions or limitations. So there's some advantages to the supplement strategy. There's some advantages to the Advantage Plan strategy. And if you're working with a good broker, they're not going to tell you that one is better than the other. They're going to ask you which one is going to fit you better. And that's where the real value of working with somebody with a product portfolio kicks in, is you get to actually shop instead of be sold a product.
That's key. So I'm going to tell you what I think I heard, and you can correct me where I go wrong. For the Advantage Plan, zip code is key. So the minute you share your zip code, you can see what's available in your particular zip code and at what cost. And the benefit of an Advantage Plan is the monthly premium is very low, but you know you have a maximum out-of-pocket. It could be anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000. And you know you're limited. If you travel a ton, you have to be very mindful of the plan you're on, because when you choose an Advantage Plan, you're also choosing a network of doctors and hospitals and facilities. And if I look at a supplement program, it's a higher cost monthly, lower potential cost at point of sale, whether it be prescriptions or procedure, in that sense. So, and your doctors, you're not locked into a particular network of doctors or facilities. So, again, this is where a good conversation comes into play with somebody who can help determine what's best for you. I want to talk a little bit before we break about the different parts of Medicare, because I know we've got big, exciting news in our next segment, which is going to talk about what happened to the donut. And So we'll get into that. So we have a couple minutes left here. Jim, you've already shared that Part A is really for hospital stays, skilled nursing facilities, hospice care. And these are general terms. Obviously, everybody's situation is going to be a little different. But Part B, want to share what Part B is?
Yeah, Part B as in boy, is for outpatient coverage, outpatient procedures. This is going to include doctor's office visits, specialist visits, lab work, blood draws, things along those lines. If it's handled in an outpatient setting, it's going to be a Part B procedure. And it's kind of amazing. I'm sure you'll all agree. There's more and more things happening in an outpatient setting than ever before. I mean, I've got plenty of clients that have had knee replacement or even hip replacement in an outpatient setting, which is just remarkable. So Part A is for inpatient hospitalizations. Part B is for outpatient doctoring, exams, x-rays, things like that. Then there's Part D. Part D as in drugs. A, B, and D. Part D as in drugs is a whole nother animal. When you get into Medicare, prescription drug benefits are a requirement, and there are lots and lots of variables. So very important to be working with somebody who is knowledgeable about the products that are available in your county of residence. Because, Gene, as you mentioned earlier, you're right. Each company can cover a medication differently. And even further that, there are some medications that can be covered by one company but not by another. So very, very important to understand that if you're working with an agent, they are not supposed to ask you, what medications are you taking? Because that might determine some type of preconceived notion where the more appropriately, you should be asking your agent, hey, how is this product going to cover my XYZ medication? How is this going to handle my pharmacy? Those questions can be answered by agents, but it's kind of difficult to ask them because of security reasons and privacy reasons. Agents are not allowed to ask seniors those types of pre-existing medical health questions. So just important to understand that.
All right. We're going to take a little break here, and then we're going to get into Part D in greater detail, and that's the old donut, which is a term anybody 65 and older knows all about. So With that, let's take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Jean Range, Senior Wealth Advisor at Ellen Becker Investment Group. We've been having a great conversation about Medicare, and maybe you have unique situations that you'd like to broach with Jim or one of his team members one-on-one. Feel free to give Health Markets a call at 262-746-7873. We're going to spend a little time in this segment talking about drug plans, and I know everybody is required to have a drug plan today. And again, anybody who's been in Medicare or has been enrolled knows all about the donut hole. And we have big changes in 2025, and we all knew this was coming. Share with our listeners today a little bit about the changes and how it will impact them.
Yeah, well, I'd be happy to. And this is a big topic. These are historical changes. This is a massive amount of updating to Medicare that has simply never happened. So this enrollment period is going to be a very, very important time for everybody to review their existing coverage and discuss what options might be better for them in 2025. So the prescription drug benefits, they are changing for 2025, and the donut hole is going away. Very, very, very different level of benefits coming in for 2025. And I guess the most simple way to explain what's changing in Part D is the amount of exposure that is being, well, the amount of money that a consumer is expected to spend is being limited dramatically, which is a great time for us to pause for applause. This is a very positive thing. In 2024, a consumer with Part D prescription drug coverage has the potential out-of-pocket maximum of $8,000. Whether you know that or not is another thing. But if you're on some serious medications, you know that. You know it well. In 2024, we've got a deductible, and we've also got co-pays. And then we've got this donut hole where we pay a different cost for prescription drugs than we did last month because now we're in the donut hole. And that donut hole is effectively being eliminated for 2025. So starting in January, individuals could have a slightly higher deductible on their prescription drug plan. And then they're going to go into their initial coverage phase, just like in 2024. But now the difference is, instead of going all the way to $5,030 in prescription drug expenses before we're put into the donut hole, like 2024, in 2025, once we get to $2,000, we've now entered the catastrophic phase of prescription drug coverage. So if I put that into normal working man's terms, in 2025, prescription drug plans are going to limit my exposure to $2,000. As opposed to right now, they're limiting my exposure to $8,000. So next year, I've got a real likely opportunity to save $6,000 in prescription drugs if I am one of those individuals that's got a whole lot of medications to deal with. So because this is changing for January 1st of 2025, the insurance companies are going to be dealing with a lot of redesigning their plans in order to make this work, and they're going to be changing a lot of other parts of their benefits in order to, again, make this work. So the plans that you've had aren't going to be the same for 2025. There might be some subtle differences. There might be some more dramatic differences, and we're going to know what those differences are once we get into October, because that's when the annual election period takes place. Very important to understand. Between October 15th and December 7th, all Medicare beneficiaries have what's called the open enrollment period, and that gives you an opportunity to review and potentially change your plan to whatever you'd like to have as long as it's available in your county of residence. So again, December 7th is the last day to change your plan for a January 1st effective date and take advantage of some of these new benefits and these new rules around prescription drug coverage, and to make sure that your plan is still going to meet your needs. Now, sorry, I don't mean to go on about this, but this is kind of a big deal. The medications that you're on right now might be on tier 2, might be on tier 3, might be on tier 4. That's all subject to change for 2025. Not only could your medication be on a different tier, but your medication could also be no longer covered in their formulary. I'm not trying to get anybody to panic, so please don't panic. But please take responsibility for your insurance benefits and know that Medicare Advantage plans, prescription drug plans, will be changing for 2025. And it's very, very important that you work with somebody knowledgeable and licensed to discuss your options and make sure that you're appropriately covered as quickly as January 1.
All right. So here, I'm just trying to think of some questions a client may ask.
A lot of information there. Sorry about that.
That's okay. We needed to hear it. So in the past, if I chose a Advantage plan and I got on it and I decided I didn't like it, within the first year of me enrolling in Medicare, I could switch to a supplemental plan with no underwriting. Once I'm a year out, I have to go to underwriting. Now, with all of these massive changes that are happening, does that rule still apply? Or there's so many changes that they're going to say, all right, we're going to clean the slate and everybody needs to decide again.
That rule still applies. It's actually called your Medicare Advantage trial period. And the first time you enroll in a Medicare Advantage plan, you have 12 months to decide whether you want to maintain that Medicare Advantage plan or if you'd like to switch back to original Medicare and even a Medicare supplement plan.
So the changes that are occurring in the drug plan, are they permanent or is this is there a grace period or where this is going to phase out in a year? Is this a permanent change that's in law right now and no more changes until they decide to make more changes?
Yeah, no more changes until the next changes.
All right.
As of right now, this is written into law. This is absolutely happening January of 2025. 2026, the script is not written. Obviously, everything in this space is very politically driven. So it's very tough to tell what 26, 27, 28 is going to look like. But we do know that there are very serious changes for 2025. And I'm working really hard right now with my team and with my clients to make sure that everybody is well prepared and well informed on what the new plan designs for 2025 are going to look like.
Well, and Jim and I are going to be hosting a seminar at the Ellenbecker Investment Group Education Center. And I encourage everybody to go to our website, ellenbecker.com. It's in early October, and hopefully you can join us. And obviously, Jim's not going to be there to answer specific questions, but he will be there to answer general questions. And then again, reach out to him for your unique situation or his team members. So.
Oh, and I do love those events, and I would love it if you came to join us. And for the record, if you do want to ask some specific questions, I'm happy to answer them. It just gets a little fun in a room full of people if you start asking about your specific conditions and things like that. But happy to be there. Happy to be a resource.
Yep, and we've done that in past seminars where we've answered and people have shared their medical challenges and different things that they're going through. So we're comfortable as long as you're comfortable. Let's talk briefly, because we're going to take a break and come back. What are the items that Medicare does not cover? So there's certain things. Do you want to share what Medicare does not cover?
Sure. Well, it can be kind of a big list. You know, obviously medically necessary procedures and appointments are typically going to be covered by Medicare. But what Medicare is currently not covering, they're not covering they do cover the first 20 days of a skilled nursing facility. But you're going to have some pretty big cost associated with skilled nursing coverage after those first 20 days. They do cover hospice benefits, but they don't necessarily cover all of your out-of-pocket expenses on the way to hospice. They don't cover dental and vision right now. So Medicare's got a lot of things that it's covering and covering very well, but there's quite a few things that aren't necessarily covered. And, you know, let's face it, when we really look at health insurance as a whole, it's fundamentally flawed. It's designed to protect the doctors and hospitals from us. So it pays the doctors and hospital bills very well, but Medicare is not going to help you maintain your activities of daily living. It's not going to help you maintain your lifestyle. So if you do need to maybe build a ramp so you can get into the house, Medicare doesn't really take any responsibility for that. You need to modify the home so you can get in and out of your own shower. Medicare takes no responsibility for that. There is a tremendous portfolio of indemnity benefits that are out there. These are voluntary, optional benefits that pay you cash directly. These can be combined with Medicare strategies in order to give you more information, in order to give you more flexibility if you actually do need a level of coverage that will help you build a ramp or modify your home. These indemnity benefits are completely optional. Most often, they are fully medically underwritten. So it's important to understand there are some people that won't qualify for some of these plans, but there are some plans that are guaranteed issue just to simply give you cash in the event of an accident.
And these are things that they can all learn about if they were to call you or your team members. So,
absolutely.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Jean Range, Senior Wealth Advisor at Ellen Becker Investment Group. As Jim and I shared, we are hosting a seminar. It's on October 3rd. Definitely go to our website at ellenbecker.com and register for that. And Jim was kind enough to say if you provide your unique situation, he can give you a little guidance during that seminar. Otherwise, feel free to call him or one of his team members at 262-746-7873. I wanted to end this conversation talking a little bit about who IRMA is and what that means. And to clarify that we're not talking about Medicaid, this is Medicare. So because you're the expert, Jim, want to share a little bit about IRMA and
sure.
Why I brought up that woman's name?
Sure, IRMA. I often refer to IRMA as Uncle Sam's greedy sister. So Aunt IRMA. IRMA stands for Income-Related Monthly Medicare Adjustment. And what that is that is an increase to your monthly Part B premium based on your relatively elevated annual income. So based on your taxes, Uncle Sam will pass the information over to IRMA, and IRMA will say, congratulations, you make so much money, you can afford to pay more for Part B. So the typical American citizen is paying about $174.70 a month for Part B, and that's going to cover a solid 90-plus percent of us. If your income is higher than the average bear, then IRMA is going to send you a letter, and you'll be responsible for an increased cost of Medicare. They will also increase the cost of Part D because your income, in their opinion, qualifies you for it. Now, on the other side, if your income is lower than the average bear, there is what's called low-income subsidy programs. There is also Medicaid eligibility, and there are very special programs available in the Medicare Advantage space that cooperate with Medicaid. So I also help individuals with relatively low income, making sure that they have appropriate coverage that combines with the Medicaid benefits available through the state and through the federal government. But of course, we're also helping individuals with relatively higher income that are paying more than the average bear. So IRMA is essentially a calculator that changes the cost of original Medicare. The higher your income, the higher your potential cost for Medicare. The lower your income, obviously, the lower the potential cost for original Medicare.
And, you know, to expand on that, that income level is looked at, your income level is looked at 2 years prior to actually getting on Medicare. So when you're 65, they look at your adjusted gross income when you were 63. When you're 66, they look at that adjusted gross income when you're 64. And if you have a tax advisor on your team, they will help you try and prevent that from happening. And that's exactly why we have a team of four CPAs on staff here at Ellenbecker, because we talk about that with our clients. I want to talk about Medicare mistakes. And the first thing I'm going to say is the enrollment deadlines. You know, we've talked, it's a 7-month period. You clarified it's not six. It's 3 months prior to your birth date month, the month of your birth date, and 3 months after your birth date of the age of the year you attain age 65. What are some of the mistakes and what happens if you miss those deadlines?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess the biggest mistake that I've seen is complacency. Well, I've got it. It seems to be working. I'll just keep it. Personally, I feel that that's a mistake. There is so much change that happens on an annual basis. And I tell my clients I tell every one of them, I say, listen, there's two things that are going to possibly change for next year, January 1st. Two things. One, your plan is probably going to change. Two, you are probably going to change. So let's make sure that we talk. Let's make sure that we know where your doctors are. Let's make sure we know what your prescriptions are, if those have changed. Because not only have you changed, but your plan has likely changed. So very, very important to review your product, to review your coverage with your agent. Again, open enrollment is from October 15th to December 7th. But there are also special enrollment periods. And there are lots of potential qualifying situations that would allow you to change your plan outside of those enrollment periods. So if you're going to be out of town, you're traveling across the country or out of the country, whatever, don't be afraid to reach out to your agent at any time and talk about, hey, this just changed in my life. Do I have to wait until October? And there's a real good possibility that you could change your plan even outside of that open enrollment period. But the big mistake that I see is kind of set it and forget it. And if you just let it ride, you might end up missing an opportunity to get into some better benefits for next year.
I want to talk about the Medicare Advantage plan. You know, a lot of people are attracted to that plan because of the low monthly cost. What are some of the mistakes when you're looking at a Medicare Advantage plan?
Yeah, that's a great question. And Medicare Advantage plans, as I mentioned, are growing in popularity. More than 50% of the population taking advantage of Medicare Advantage plans. I would say stay focused on the real objective of your coverage. There's a lot of people that come to me and they are trying to make their decision based on, well, this plan gives $1,000 worth of dental. This plan gives $1,700 worth of dental. I want to go with this one. It's frustrating because there's some very, very important features of your plan. And I don't feel that dental is one of them. I get it that dental is important. I get it. Everybody wants a beautiful smile. But there are some very important features of your plan that you need to be aware of. What is your out-of-pocket maximum? What are your network restrictions? Do you have the additional bells and whistles that you want to have? And are you trusting just the insurance company itself to pay for everything all the time and give you no trouble? You know, it's working with an agent to get some of these ancillary products that'll help insure you as opposed to just the doctor bills can really put you in a better position to maintain your lifestyle as opposed to just not have to worry about a $4,000 medical bill.
All right. We talked about a lot, and it might have stirred your world where you have additional questions. Don't feel nervous. Reach out to your financial advisor. or Jim and his team at 262-746-7873. Again, go to our website at ellenbecker.com and register for our Medicare seminar, which is October 3rd. I want to thank you for spending some time with us this afternoon. Money Sense airs on Saturdays from 2 to 3 and on Sundays from 12 to 1. If you enjoyed today's show and want to learn more about EIG and our upcoming events, please visit ellenbecker.com or give us a call at 262-691-3200. As always, I hope that I've made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen. Be well.